The scripture reading this evening is from Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, the text for this evening hour is from Joshua 5. Joshua chapter 5, the chapter we have read, verse 14, first part. Joshua 5, verse 14, the first part. There we read the word of God in our text, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Till so far. It's about the captain of the host of the Lord. And we consider, firstly, the time of his coming. And secondly, the sword of his coming. And thirdly, the reason of his coming. The captain of the host of the Lord. Time of his coming, sword of his coming, and the reason of his coming. Congregation, the people of Israel have now come so far that they are at the border of the promised land. The desert is behind them. They even traveled through that river of Jordan. The Lord made them a pathway. God divided the waters of the river Jordan. And they passed through on dry ground because the Ark of the Covenant stood in the midst of the river. And Israel has also eaten of the old corn of the land. And the manna had ceased to fall upon earth. And the men and the boys have been circumcised. And the feast of the Passover has been held. It must have been so good, so special for the people of Israel. They experienced a peace, a kind of foretaste of the promised land. But they are still at the border. The promised land is not yet in their possession. There are those strong and barbarous Canaanites. Those Canaanites still have to be driven away. And there is that city of Jericho, that key city, the entrance gate to the promised land. And we know that that city of Jericho was surrounded by high, thick, unconquerable walls. It was the key. It was the door gate, so to say, to the promised land. No one could enter into Canaan without passing by Jericho. So to obtain the promise, Israel first has to conquer Jericho and the Canaanites. We know that Joshua, he's the new leader of the people of Israel. And he is realizing that they have to conquer Jericho first. Verse 13 says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, in the immediate neighborhood of Jericho. Joshua has gone out alone to view the city, probably to survey its defense, maybe to think over a strategy or making a plan how to assault the strongholds of the city. The Hebrew wording also says nearby Jericho that Jericho was occupying the mind of Joshua with his thoughts, with his concerns, with his prayers. Jericho is on his heart as a burden. How do the people of Israel conquer this strong city? Humanly speaking, that's impossible. They wandered for 40 years in the desert. They don't even have a strong army. They are inexperienced in war. And there are those walls and those gates. That city so impressive. That was on the mind of Joshua. Let's picture Joshua congregation on the top of one of those hills in the neighborhood of Jericho. He's there alone. No armor bearer is with him. No other soldiers to protect him. He's there alone. with his thoughts, with his responsibilities, with his concerns. He has to lead that great people of Israel. There are so many of them. The people of Israel, way has a responsibility on his heart. And then all of a sudden, it happens. Suddenly, a man stood before him. A man with a sword in his hand. So that sword is drawn out of the shaft. The man has that sword in his hand. Where does this man come from? Joshua doesn't know. And then we read that Joshua went to him and asked him. Again, I like that in Joshua. He was a brave man. And he asked, we read it in verse 13 at the end, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Probably Joshua saw that this man wasn't an Israelite. And he also didn't look like an enemy. Anyway, it's clear that Joshua didn't know who stood over against him. Art thou for us? Art thou against us? And then there comes the answer in verse 14. And he said, nay. No, not at all. I do not belong to the people of Israel. And I also do not belong to the enemy. I am from another category. I am from a totally different rank. I am the captain of the hosts of the Lord. The hosts of the Lord. The army troops of the Lord. We have to think, congregation, of the heavenly hosts. Of the 10,000, 100,000 of angels. Heavenly hosts. Heavenly army troops. The man says, I am the captain. I am the leader. I am the prince. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. That was the answer Joshua received when he asked, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I am the captain of the host of the Lord. And when Joshua heard that answer, he fell on his face. Because at that same moment, he understood and he realized and he also recognized it is the Lord. It was a revelation of the Son of God himself. It was a revelation of the angel of the Lord, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has now come. He appears to deliver his people. I am now come. The time of his coming. Now, that special moment of the coming of the Lord. The text says, now am I come. Now, Joshua, now you are wondering how you have to continue. Now you feel, and now you see so many impossibilities before you. Now you're wondering how to plan, and how to work it out, and how to conquer Jericho, those walls, towers, and gates. Now, Joshua, when you are at the end of your resources, now am I come. Because Joshua was indeed confronted with great responsibilities and great impossibilities. But the Lord knows what his servant stands in need of. And God reveals himself unto Joshua. Congregation, how often do we meet this? Is scripture, that God comes when there is a time of need. Think of the people of Israel, when they were standing there before the Red Sea. Think, boys and girls, of Daniel in the lion's den. Or think of Peter in prison. When the water has raised to your lips, when the enemies around you maybe already cry victory, but then is the time of the Lord to come and to take the side of his people. I am now come. How surprising is that coming of the Lord. When it is cut off on our side. When we have to fear, the Lord has forsaken me. Oh, it is so often the experience of God's people. When we feel that it is beyond hope, when Jacob says, all these things are against me, then there is that surprising coming of the Lord. When we are at the end of our resources, when our own righteousness is stripped away, when we experience those impossibilities on our side, when you stand there empty-handed, a poor and a helpless sinner, when you have to cry out, what must I do? Then there is that surprising coming of the Lord. Now am I come. When you see only walls and gates and impossibilities, oh, then it's time for the Lord to come. But congregation, why? Why does the Lord so often lead us in such a way? Why does God first make us empty? Why does God bring us in such a need? Well, God wouldn't do that if there was no need for that, don't you think? God has special reasons to lead us in such ways. It is so often necessary that God leads us in such a way. To wean us away from that expectation of self. So that no flesh shall glorify in his presence. For God is jealous of his own honor. And he makes us to understand, I do this for your sake, O house of Israel. I do not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my name's sake, that my name may be glorified. God is glorified in that time of his coming. He comes in our time of need. But look and behold, how did the Lord come? The Lord came with a sword in his hand. Let's consider that. The sword of his coming. So Joshua met the captain of the host of the Lord, the Son of God, the Prince of Heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself as the angel of the Lord to Joshua. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he reveals himself with a sword, verse 13. A man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. So the Lord is coming as a warrior, as a man of war, as a fighter, as a sword fighter. What is the meaning of that sword? That sword in the hands of the captain of the host of the Lord. In Scripture, the sword often means a symbol of God's justice, a token of God's vengeance. Only think of what Scripture says about the rulers. They do not bear the sword in vain. The rulers, government, bears the sword to maintain justice, to maintain God's justice on earth. Oh, what a sight. Try to think of it. Try to imagine what a deep impression this revelation of the Lord must have made upon the heart of Joshua. What a sight. Captain of the heavenly hosts with a sword of justice in his hand. Is this a sight of comfort? Can this ever be a sight of encouragement? So frightening to see the Prince of the Angels of Heaven with that drawn sword in his hand, ready to kill. That sword that speaks of God's judgment, of God's righteousness. It speaks of God's wrath against sin. If you look at that sword, if you think of God's justice, holiness and righteousness, then Joshua and that people of Israel, they have no right to enter into the promised land of Canaan. They have no right to become possessors of their promised land flowing with milk and honey. How can they ever pass by that sword and enter into the promised land? God's people, like Joshua here, are confronted, congregation, with that sword of God's justice in their lives. And God will teach us that according to His justice, we deserve punishment for time and eternity, for body and soul. Then we get to do with that holy and that righteous God, who shall by no means clear the guilty. Do you know that sword of righteousness in your life? Have you struggled with it? Has it been your confession that you have transgressed against all God's commandments and also incline to all evil, notwithstanding all your attempts to better yourself and to reform your life? And you see those walls of your guilt, those gates of your misery, and you see your sin and your guilt daily increasing. What a sight! A guilty sinner and a holy and a righteous God. That sword of justice that brings anxious fear into our hearts, congregation. We read of that fear in the life of David. Then we hear David saying, "Enter not into judgment with me, with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Oh, that makes you to tremble. That makes you to fear. That, so to say, can take away all the hope out of your heart. There was that sword. That sword of God's justice. But that sword was in the hand of the captain of the hosts of the Lord. And that sword in his hand is not a weapon against Joshua and the people of Israel, but it's a weapon against Israel's enemies. In the hand of the captain of the host of the Lord, that sword will Joshua do no harm. There is no reason for Joshua to fear that sword, for it's in the hands of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's even a reason to rejoice. He has now come. The sword is in his hands. And the captain of the heavenly hosts, with that sword in his hand, that sword of God's righteousness, that sword of God's justice, has now come to comfort and to encourage Joshua. "I shall fight for you. Fear not. I will bring God's vengeance on the Canaanites. And ye shall hold your peace." that sword in the hand of the captain of the hosts of the Lord makes us to think, congregation, of him of whom is written, awake, O sword. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against that man that is my fellow. Smite that shepherd, saith the Lord of the heavenly host. The Lord Jesus Christ has been smitten with that sword of God's justice. In the garden of Gethsemane, where he crept as a worm and no man. On that cursed cross of Calvary, where God's justice required from him that surety, that complete satisfaction. There on the cross, that sword of God's justice pierced the heart of the Son of God. There the shepherd was smitten, and all the billows, all the waves of God's wrath because of sin went over him. And there he cried out, it is finished. And now there is a refuge for all who flee unto him. There is a refuge in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whoever believe in him will not be destroyed by that sword of God's justice. For now there is that pardon, that mercy for a people who feel and understand, I deserved to be smitten by that sword of justice. But now this captain of the heavenly host, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. In him is eternal salvation. He is that Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one and only Prince of Peace. And he has that sword in his pierced hands. And therefore that sword will not destroy Joshua. It will save Joshua and the people of Israel. It will destroy the enemies. And therefore, maybe it seems contradictory, but there is true comfort and true encouragement in this sight. I am now come. I am now come to fight for you, to break down those walls of Jericho, and to open the gates of Canaan. Not a minute too early, not a minute too late, just in time. Well, the lesson again, the Lord always comes just in time. I am now come. Sword is in my hand. Fear not. I will fight for you. Remember Martha and Mary. They had called upon Jesus. And they thought that Jesus would now come. But he didn't come. It even took 4 days. Before Jesus did actually come. And their dear brother, Jesus' friend, Lazarus had already died and was already buried. And then did the Lord come. But he came just in time. It wasn't too late and it wasn't too early. Oh, the Lord does come when we are in need. When it's impossible on our side. So that all the honor and all the glory will be for him. We read of Abraham when he had to sacrifice his son on the Mount Moriah. You know the story. Abraham had a knife already in his hand. He was even raising his hand, raising the knife. Isaac was laying there on the altar. God was waiting. God was watching from heaven. And then just in time, God interfered. Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. That's God's time so often, to come and to save. So often we say, congregation, now it is time for the Lord to come and to work and to reveal himself and to deliver me. Now must God show that he is on my side. Now must God make me known that he has heard my supplications, that he has seen my tears, and that he has heard my prayers. But then we have to learn a lesson. Our time frame isn't God's time frame. We have to learn the lesson that God does not come along with us. We have to learn to come along with God. We have to come on God's side as a poor and a needy sinner. You know, so often we miss the relevance and the application of what the Bible says. That's because we forget what the Bible is all about. The Bible, congregation, is in the first place about God. Not about us. It's about God, about Christ, and about the Holy Spirit. It's about that triune God. That's also in this story. All the emphasis is upon God, upon Christ. I am. Now come. This is a testimony in the Old Testament of Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus often said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And here Jesus reveals himself unto Joshua and says, I am that great I am, Joshua. Joshua, it's about me. It's not about Jericho. It's not about the promised land. It's about me in the first place. About my work. About my honor. About my glory. And the Lord teaches Joshua such a precious lesson, congregation. Not only does Joshua know now with whom he has to do, and he comes alongside that captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua is taught, I'm not first in line. He is the first in line. I'm not in charge. He is in charge. He who says, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I'm that one and only Savior. I have now come. Oh, what a blessing to meet that great captain and to hear him say, I have been smitten with this sword of justice, and I have suffered the punishment of your sins and iniquities, and I was wounded with this sword in your stead. And I took all your transgressions upon me. And I was bruised for all your iniquities. Therefore, fear not. Come on my side, Joshua. Only follow me. Rely on me for time and eternity. For I am now come to redeem with my blood, to blot out all your iniquities, to fight for you, because the battle isn't yours, Joshua. The battle is mine. I am the captain. I will undertake it all. Whatever walls, whatever gates, whatever towers there may be over against you, because I have all the power in heaven and on earth. And this captain promises his people, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a comfort. What a peace. Congregation, let's sing. From Psalter 362, the stanzas 2 and 3. 362, the stanzas 2 and 3. I wait for God the Lord, and on His word my hope relies. 2 and 3, Psalter 362. of his coming, sword of his coming, reason of his coming. At first congregation, Joshua didn't recognize the captain of the hosts of the Lord. Who was he? Is he for us? Is he against us? Is he a friend? Or is he an enemy? But then, so comforting, then the Lord revealed himself unto Joshua. I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I have now come to battle for my people. A special battle. Not a battle of one nation against the other nation. Christ has now come to fight that spiritual battle of his people. That battle of the seed of the woman against the seed of the serpent. And believers know about that battle by experience. Like Paul says, we have to wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What a battle. A battle upon life and death. But what do we have to fear? With such a captain on our side. If God be for us, who will be against us? The Lord knew what Joshua needed. Joshua needed a new encounter, a new and a fresh experience of the Lord. That's what Joshua stood in need of. That God would come and that God would encourage him. Joshua, come on my side. Your cause is my cause. For I am the captain. Oh, the Lord knows what his people, what his servants stand in need of. And he often knows how discouraged we can be, how full of unbelief we can be, how the devil can tempt us. Think of Joshua. He was there with the large people of Israel. Behind them, the river of Jordan. Before him, that stronghold, the city of Jericho. Maybe Satan tempted him, saying, "You are trapped. You are totally trapped. You can't move in any direction. You are lost. You will never conquer these strongholds of Jericho. You will never take down those walls, those gates." Oh, so often God's people can fear to shipwreck in sight of the harbor. But God, in his loving kindness, he knows of these struggles, of these weaknesses. I am now come. And when God comes, congregation, he comes with a purpose. He comes with a reason. He shows his love and his care for his flock. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And when he comes, he doesn't come as a spectator. He comes really close. He lowers himself into the depth of our misery. He even descends in the valley of the shadows of death. So Jesus says, I have now come. And he makes us to hear the voice of the beloved. And faith beholds him, his coming, his leaping upon the mountains, his skipping upon the hills. And then in the eyes of faith, when you see him coming with that sword in his pierced hands, then in the eyes of faith, the walls of Jericho collapse. And Satan has to flee, and darkness has to disappear, for he opens the way, and the valleys are exalted, and the mountains are made low. For I, the Savior, says the Lord Jesus, I am your Redeemer. I have now come. Congregation, such a coming isn't commonplace. Such a coming is so special. That's what we also learn from Joshua's reaction upon that coming of the Lord. Verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua directly knew what he had to do. And we see how Joshua bowed down and humbled himself. And he gave reverence. He gave worship. He gave glory and honor to the Lord. And directly Joshua was willing to listen to the Lord. And to perform whatever God would command. What did God command? Loose thy shoe from off thy foot. That makes us, of course, to think of Moses and the burning bush. It was a sign of respect, of esteem, the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Loose thy shoe from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And isn't it then beautiful, congregation, when verse 15 says, only four words, and Joshua did so. He did so. For there is the Lord. The Lord has now come. And there was Joshua, a poor and a needy sinner. And the Lord had come. And he worshipped him. And he glorified him. And with reverence, he humbled himself before the Lord. Joshua did so. That God did come. That God was there. So amazing. Such a revelation. Such an encounter. Does so much good to our souls. It makes submissive to God and to his will. It makes you to say it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Then we will be deeply convinced that he is the Lord, our God. And such a revelation of God to your soul, it will always be accompanied with that that worshipping him and giving him honor and glory and bowing down low and becoming humble and unworthy in your own sight. Such fellowship with the Lord will work out in a Christian life, a life of prayer and a life of faith. Then we will be deeply convinced, congregation, that He is the Lord, that He is the captain, to be in His hands, to trust and to rely upon Him. That will give such a sweet dependency upon the Lord, that communion with Him, that unity with Him. The fruit of that unity with Him will also be unity between one another. To sup with Him, also to sup with one another. One Savior, one bread, one blood, one Christ, one captain. He is the all and in all. What will be your reaction to this sermon? Oh, I beg you, surrender to the Lord. Throw yourself, young and older ones, throw yourself in the arms of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel invitation. Come unto me, whoever you are. You will be saved. You will be saved for time and eternity. Oh, surrender to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did come. And He is still willing to come. He even is here in our midst. In this gospel message, what will be your reaction? Joshua fell on his face. What sayest thou to thy servant? And he took off his shoes. He did so. And there was that sword. But that sword didn't wound Joshua, because the Lamb has been wounded. Because the Savior has been wounded. And therefore that sword will do no harm. There is room at His feet. Oh, follow Joshua's example as we continue this week of preparation upon the Holy Supper, Lord willing, coming Sunday. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Amen. Let us now give thanks and close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for this evening hour, for this message from Thy holy word, from the Old Testament, but so full of Christ and His willingness to come and to save and to battle and to fight. Oh, He is that shepherd that was smitten by that sword of righteousness. And therefore is there room at Thy feet and room at Thy table, even for the chiefest of sinners. Will Thou apply Thy holy word to our hearts and be with us? Will Thou protect us in this evening hour and remember us in the furtherance of this week? Will Thou lead and guide us by Thy Spirit, for Jesus' sake, amen.